We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron. Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
In this podcast, we aim to talk about topics that cover marriage, faith, parenting, friendship, and much more.
Sometimes we study through parts of the Bible, and sometimes we discuss more specific marriage issues. But no matter what we talk about, our heart is to always point you and your spouse back to God and His Word.
We always try to be real and transparent as we share stories from our own marriage and the things God is teaching us along the way.
With everything we share here on the podcast, we hope to encourage you to draw closer to God and to each other.
So, we want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen, YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, or any other platform you prefer.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast.
This one's going to be a little bit different. I'm actually shocked that we are able to record it because
we almost like left.
We've been in a whirlwind
twice now.
normally we share life notes with you guys, like just updates on what's going on with the family.
But this episode, but this whole episode is a life note.
Is that basically? So we're just going to jump right in. And it's probably going to be a shorter episode just because of the nature of it. But this week has been, oof.
Yeah. So we live in Central Oregon, and Central Oregon for the last, 6 years, 7 years, every year we have like what's called fire season. And I don't know what it is, but if you can look on a fire map and the entire Pacific Northwest is like, seems to be on fire.
I just read a headline today that this is the worst
fire
at this stage in the year. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is late.
But they've
usually,
ever had.
Usually they're over by now.
Yeah. Like July, August.
So currently our neighborhood, where we live in Central Oregon.
We live in the forest.
Is on a level 2 evacuation notice. And I don't know if you know what that is, but we're just now learning about it too. There's 3 levels. There's ready, set, go. Okay, so ready is green, set is yellow, go is red.
Which a lot of people were leaving on
the green,
yellow.
On one. And
no,
people are leaving on yellow too.
The yellow one. Yesterday, we were set to level 2 and I was in town and I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to get through. I didn't know how any of this worked. And I was coming home to make sure that we had our bags and everything in case we had to leave.
Yeah.
And on the way, just car after car, trailer after trailer, leaving our area, which all these different things kind of, you know, stir up anxious thoughts and anxiety of, okay, what's best, what to do, and having wisdom and all of that.
And this is currently real time for us. Like we're currently still at level 2.
We're still in level 2.
And if it goes to level 3, essentially
you're supposed to go right away.
You got to go.
Like, and so, don't even grab anything. So we have cars packed. We have everything that we need, even for the baby, because this week has been so intense because I'm also scheduling out my C-section for next week. I'm about to have a baby. And so I keep thinking in my head, like, this can't happen. This can't happen. What are we going to do?
We've seen stories in the areas that we live of entire neighborhoods burning to the ground over the last handful of years, which is devastating.
Yeah.
And you never think like, well, that's not going to happen to us. Like we live in maybe for some reason, our area is special, but we have trees everywhere. And there was a thunderstorm that happened a week ago and it probably started from lightning. I actually don't know.
I think there was
a lot of fires that were started, and it went from like 100 acres, and then the next morning it was 1,000 acres, and then the next day it was 6,000 acres.
It was really fast.
And today it's over 10,000 acres burning, and it's headed straight towards our neighborhood.
Yeah, with all the wind and everything.
So before we go any further, I would just like everyone to pray for us.
Yeah, please.
Like genuinely, like I'm not one to usually get stressed about things. You probably know this about me, but I've been kind of stressed.
Yeah.
And this fire is making me realize how much I hold on to our things, mm-hmm. our home that mm-hmm. we just finished building mm-hmm. 2 years ago. And so I've been wrestling with that.
One of the kids was really worried for you about our grass because you've worked all year to get it so green. And they're like, oh, Dad's not going to like this.
A part of me would be happy if the grass burnt and I could start over. So there's a part of me like, I just want to start over with this grass.
On a lighter note, Aaron did all the irrigation and grass last year for us. And so he's been babying it and the kids recognized it. And I thought it was a really sweet, like thoughtful comment that one of them made. Thank but besides
you. That's
the grass,
so sweet.
We know you don't care about the grass. We know that this is our home and these are our things and we're about to bring a baby home. I'm thinking about having a C-section, which I already know how recovery is for like a natural birth. I have no idea what
it might
this
be in
entails.
Our trailer.
So I just keep reminding myself to keep my hands and heart open to what the Lord has. And it just feels a little bit chaotic. But I remember when we first got the news of the fire, it was kind of like, okay, well, they're going to get that out.
And there's always fires.
Yeah. And there's always fires.
They're all over.
Then when it got set to level one, I put the kids to bed and I went and packed their backpacks because I'm like, if anything, they have to have clothes I can't afford and I can't think about like being in the hospital and having a baby. I can't think about whether they have clean underwear or not. So I packed backpacks and put them by the front door. Mm-hmm. By level two, I was really stressed because you start thinking like, oh my goodness, what matters the most to me? What matters to me that I can't replace?
Yeah, what are the things that if we don't grab it, we're going to regret it?
So I'll be honest, I grabbed some picture frames off the wall that weren't photos. They were my kids' artwork that they made when they were 2, 3, 4 years old that I can't replace.
You should take pictures of them on
your phone. Because I'm sentimental. I should have just done that. That would have been easier. But I put those in the car. I stuff stuff in the car Aaron doesn't even know about.
When you start getting like evacuation levels, I'll be honest, like you kind of stop fully thinking. It's like, what do we do? I don't know what to do. Okay. Should we leave now? What should we grab?
I felt like I was packing a bag for myself just to have clothes, but also packing for the hospital. Maybe.
Well, you're grabbing baby clothes. You're like,
I was grabbing baby clothes. I was like, the baby can't be naked.
Yeah.
You're probably thinking we could just grab stuff as we go, but I was not okay with that.
No, I wasn't thinking that. To be honest, I don't even know what I was thinking. I was like, all I was thinking was like, the only thing that's important is our documents and our kids.
Yeah.
But then we've had a little bit more time. So I'm like, okay, now I'll get this stuff and now I'll have this stuff ready. And
another huge worry from the kids was about our cat who likes to go outside, and we kept her inside for two days while we went through level one and level two. And then last night, right as we were going to bed, she got out.
Yeah, so here's what Zach, we're having this men's meeting and it was really good. And someone knocks on our door and it's like a fire volunteer. They're going through all the neighborhoods.
Letting people know
hey,
where
we're at level two.
You need to be ready to go.
If we get to level three, and they would ask like, are you planning on leaving if we get to level three? Essentially like, you should go at level three. And I was not even thinking about it. And the cat just ran right past me and I'm like, oh.
No.
And I'm like, no, because like if they would have went to level three, it would have been gone. And the cat's like, okay, good luck, cat. You're going to have to figure this out.
But she's back home now.
She came back home
this
morning.
So if we still get called out on level three,
she's going to go with us. Yeah. And we've been vigilant today to keep her in. So
something that was really cool was, which I honestly wasn't sure that we'd make it to today, but in looking at the forecast.
As in not evacuating.
As in not evacuating, sorry.
Yes. Surviving, we will survive.
I told the kids that. I said, we will survive. Which I do want to talk about the kids in a second, but I thought this was really cool. There was like a 25% chance of rain today in the morning, and it kept changing even. It kept getting later and less.
But we've been praying nonstop for
everybody rain. Has been praying. Yeah. And it was so cool to see kind of all day sprinkled and rained.
Well, we woke up this morning and it was pouring.
I hadn't even opened my eyes yet, and I heard the dripping of the rain, and I got emotional. It was like so much peace and so much joy, and I just kept praying that it would continue on throughout the day. But when we were doing family Bible time, I mentioned to the kids about the miracles of Jesus and how I was like, guys, he even took like a little bit of fish and bread, and he fed thousands. Like, how cool is that? And like, how did it just keep breaking off and they just had enough and then they had leftovers? And I'm like, we need to pray like that for the rain, that those clouds are holding so much more water than we. Okay, so as soon as I get done with Bible time with you, I text a neighbor to check in on her. I'm like, hey, you guys doing okay? And so we're going back and forth and she's like, I said, how's your daughter? And she said, she's doing good. She goes, we talked about the feeding of the 5,000 today.
That's cool.
And how we need a deluge in the clouds. And I was like, I did the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and on top of not just encouraging our kids that God can and could mm-hmm. save our home and the neighborhood. And we also get to talk to them and be like, hey, sometimes bad things happen. Like our house could burn down.
Yeah.
Our neighborhood could burn. We don't want that. But this fire, because like the kids were like, maybe God, I think Olive was saying this morning, she's like, maybe God, nothing's going to happen, but God wanted the fire so people would like
be
pray
drawn to him.
Yeah. And I was like, maybe.
They haven't prayed in a while.
I think people will do that. I said, but also sometimes fires just happen and they burn down houses and it's bad. But I said, but you know what? Like we get to trust God still and worship him still. And so trying to navigate this in the midst of it is like
we have
strange
our,
for us.
Well, we have our own emotions about it and our own thoughts and our own wrestlings. But then we have five kids that are also thinking about all of their stuff and what's going to happen to our family and is everyone going to be safe? And so as parents, it's shown us the importance of when you're already teaching your kids how to pray and being in a constant state of, hey, let's pray for this, let's pray for that. It was very easy to pray for this emergency and to pray for others and to pray for rain.
And we've been praying nonstop.
And
so please be praying because the fire is still active.
It's still
going. Zero percent contained.
Yeah.
But it's been raining, not just in our area. If you look on the map, if you have a weather map, the entire Pacific Northwest that's on fire, it's raining on.
So cool.
Like God's like raining. So I don't know. Cool. Maybe it's our prayers that is answered. But.
So being a family that prays together, I feel like is super important and has brought a lot of peace to our kids' hearts. Mm-hmm. And like you said, telling them that we're going to trust in God no matter what. Like if our house burns down or even if our cat didn't come back home by the time we had to leave, like all these things, it would be okay because what really matters is us, right?
Yep. And so this has been a big thing for us. It still currently is. We're at home waiting. We're recording this right now.
We didn't even have time to go over notes, you guys. We just started doing this.
Yeah. We're like, we should just ask people for prayer and tell them what we're doing. So, how are we in the midst of this, navigating some of this?
Well, I'll say this. One of the hardest things for me emotionally is considering what next week looks like because I was scheduled to have a C-section. And so thinking about recovery, thinking about where I'll be, where's the family going to be, those things have been heavy on my mind. But then my energy level has been so low because I'm right at the end and I'm tired. I'm already not sleeping. And now I'm not sleeping because I'm waiting for alerts throughout the night. And when I'm already like trying to nest and trying to make sure my house is clean, but now I just feel
ready
like
for a baby coming.
There's all this stuff by the front door ready to go with us. And yeah, it's like, I don't have the energy to go like be prepared, to be fully prepared. And maybe that's what God wanted, me not to be prepared when this baby came and know that it's going to be okay. Like I tell my kids, I don't know.
I just had this, I just remembered like Joseph and Mary having to uproot.
Yeah.
For the census, and she's literally like 10 months pregnant.
Wow. That did not come to my mind at all.
I know. I just thought about it. I was like, we kind of just have that a little inkling of that, but she had to like go on a camp on a
donkey
for
however
many miles.
I'm glad I don't have to do that.
And then
we have a comfortable
place.
Ride if we're out of here.
We have a trailer we can live in, and we have lived in it before.
Yeah.
Just with 7, not 8.
Yeah.
So it should
it's
be
kind
a,
of
it's
the,
just a fit.
The waiting and the not knowing that really is a hang up and also the lack of control. I wish I could control the fire. I wish I can control how we respond in our emotion to all of it. I've had ups and downs. I've had tears. I've had, you know.
We're looking for people who have been blessed by this free podcast and our free daily marriage prayer emails and who want to help be a blessing to others. Creating and hosting this podcast and sending out our daily emails do incur a financial cost. And we want to invite you to join our faithful patron team to help financially support these resources so that they can remain free for all who need them. Please join our patron team today and become one of the faithful financial supporters who desires to help bless thousands of marriages around the world. Your support will help us pay for the creation, hosting, and promotion of our podcast and daily emails. Thank you, and we hope to see you become a Marriage After God patron. Usually am like very positive. So a friend of mine that also lives in the area was over last night, and he kept saying, he's like, it's going to be fine. Like, this is going to, it's not even going to hop this road. And like, he kept saying it all night, but towards the end, he's like, it's going to be fine, right?
Oh, like a question.
Yeah.
And, it's hard,
and
guys.
And I'm very similar to that of like, usually like, oh, this is like so rare. Yeah. This kind of stuff's not going to happen. But like, I genuinely was reconciling last night. Like, well, this house could be gone. Mm-hmm. And I've never felt that before. Yeah. That's like a weird feeling. Mm-hmm. But it happens. People go through it. Like, why would we be different?
Yeah, I was just going to say, because we've been talking a lot about us and our experience, but we know that there's a lot of people that have experienced their house burning down or another major disaster, tornadoes, hurricanes. I mean, you name it.
And we have friends that live in Florida and have dealt many times with hurricanes. We have friends in the Midwest that have dealt with tornadoes. We used to live in California, and earthquake was like... Yeah. Normal.
And honestly, like aside from even the, I don't know what to call it, huge scale of damage this could cause, there's also all those other things that people go through that are really hard. Yeah. Uprooting your family, moving, transition.
Loss of jobs.
Loss of.
Sickness.
All kinds of loss. Yeah. And so we just wanted to take a moment and just acknowledge that people are tried like all the time and. Mm. Even just looking at our church community this last year, Aaron, there's been a lot of families that have walked through really hard things. And so I know that people
currently walking through hard things.
And I know that our listeners, I know you guys also go through really hard things. And we just want to acknowledge that the stamina required to walk through those things, like we get it, maybe not fully per situation, but what we understand most is that you can't do it without God. It's so hard to, I mean, I can't even fathom going through devastation or hardship without having God and praying to him and asking for his peace and asking for his help. And so we want to encourage you guys today, first and foremost, that if you're experiencing something really hard and challenging and devastating, to be on your knees in prayer and to be surrendered to him.
And there's a verse that just came to mind. I can't remember exactly where it's at. But you might remember, it says for I cannot compare current struggles to the coming glory. Mm. And this idea that like this life and all of its pain and all of its suffering and all of its struggles, along with all of its joys and beauties, is so temporary.
That's what I told the kids.
Yeah. Like I'm struggling with losing this house. That's going to be devastating. But at the end of the day, I also just want to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Not that I want to die, but this house is nothing in comparison to eternity. Mm-hmm. And so just being truly challenged with a heavenly perspective in the midst of our earthly things being threatened. Mm-hmm. Some things, though, that it's caused us to think about. And you don't want to be in an emergency.
Not prepared.
You don't want to be in an emergency and then be thinking about these things. Stuff like our insurance on our house. Mm-hmm. First of all, you're supposed to have it, I think to have a loan.
But I think every insurance is different. So our recommendation here is just know what your insurance covers. Yeah. If you're in an area where there is a high chance of a national or a severe situation, make sure that there's coverage for that.
So a month ago, there was another fire that was a little bit further than this one. Mm-hmm. And I remember calling my insurance agent. I'm like, am I covered for wildfire insurance?
We got to make sure.
And he's like, you're covered. I'm like, sweet. And so just kind of like regularly doing a checkup, like what's my insurance cover? Yeah. Also, we always encourage couples, families to have a trust, a living trust. Mm-hmm. And what this is an entity you create that owns everything you own. And there's something really powerful about that because it protects all of your assets inside of an entity that's not you.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you have to have a lot to do this. No. I remember we were first inspired and encouraged to do this when we were going to a marriage ministry and they had a spokesperson come and spend like 15, 20 minutes to address all the couples and basically explain how important it is to make sure that this is set up for your family. Because if something were to happen to an asset or unfortunately, like if something happened to you and I, how would the kids be able to carry on? And so it basically protects them legally. It protects your things legally and doesn't send it through probate, which takes years and money.
Yep.
So
a trust is important. Also being organized, like we have, I have a safe and in that safe, I put all of our important documents, passports, IDs, everything, anything that's like, we need that because we own those things.
And they're in one bag. So
they're in this waterproof Ziploc baggie.
When this fire hit, Aaron handed me the bag right away.
Yeah, it was the first thing I said, go grab the documents.
Yeah.
And it's not that they couldn't be replaced, but oh my, would be so painful to replace. And so having those things, especially if you're going to be having all your kids and if you lost everything, like what if like you need to prove that they're your children? What if you need to have medical stuff? What if you, there's like so many things. So having all of your important things in one spot, easy to grab in a protected area, that's been a huge thing. Because if we lost everything, but we had those things, at the end of the day, we would be in a way better place than if those things were lost and we had something else.
And then the last one is, and this is all what to do like before you ever even hear of an emergency happening, but make a plan with your family of what will you do in the event of fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Just so that you and your spouse know, because sometimes we're separated. Like last night when we went to level two, we weren't together. And so that caused a little bit of anxiety. Like I was calling you like, what, so what are we doing? But so we weren't super prepared right there, but it was more like.
We were though.
It was more.
Because I had my trailer hooked up and I could have met you somewhere.
I think more so it was me wanting to go on two, but being okay to stay to three and like this tension of not really knowing because we've never been here before. But making a plan. Yeah. And knowing like where you'll land in the event of an emergency.
You have a note on here for like a handout, like a what to grab type thing, which I thought was a good idea.
So this second set of things is more like, okay, once the emergency hits, here are some things to think about. First, okay, I want to back up just a second because this is really important. Okay. When what we've experienced with this is when an emergency hits, people show up, people call. People text, people offer.
Yeah.
Hey, if you need a place to stay, hey, we're praying for you. Hey, are you okay? And I just feel so loved. I feel so thought of. I feel so seen. And I just really appreciate how community works like that. And if you guys are not invested in a community where, it, let's say there's an emergency tonight, are there people that are going to check on you?
Who are you going to call?
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to say that because I think that's a really important aspect of what we're learning through this is that we have people
It
feels good and family. So, so these next practical tips are just like in the event of an evacuation or an emergency, like this is what I've been experiencing.
Yeah, some of this we're figuring out right now.
So one of my friends sent a little screenshot of an emergency evacuation that I had here on my phone, and it breaks it down with 15-minute warning, 30-minute warning, 1-hour warning, and 2-hour warning, and things to grab in those time frames. So let's say it went straight to level 3 and we only had to get in the car. You could do the 15-minute one and just get your phone charger, the documents, and the cat, you know, and the backpacks.
And the children.
And the children.
Grab the children. Don't forget the kids.
I'm sure that this is a random sheet that you could probably find on Google, or you can just create one yourself, but have it probably in those important places with your other documents where you could just check it off really quickly because we haven't been thinking this whole time. It's like you start thinking about something and then something else takes your mind from that thing. And so,
very distracted. It's hard to think about normal things when you're like, is this going to burn my house down?
So maybe have a handout of what to grab for your sake.
Something that we've been trying to really focus on because in the midst of an emergency, as an adult, you may not recognize how much the children are being affected by your fears, your anxieties, because they sense it. Excuse me. And taking the time to stop and recognize it, and we've stopped several times just to talk to them, because they're all like, "Where's the fire at? How's the fire doing?"
Our 4-year-old was repeating last night on the way home, "This is a really bad situation.
This is really bad."
It was so cute. But also, I heard her. I heard her panic. I heard fear, and I got to address it. So,
And you reminded me, like, hey, see where she's at.
I said, she's like me. She needs you.
Yeah. And so I was able to draw her in and just say, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah. We're going to be okay.
Yeah.
And also reminding my kids, like, hey, if we lose the house, that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, we are going to be okay because we will be gone long before that gets here.
Yeah.
And so letting them know that I'm not worried about my stuff more than I'm worried about them.
So what Aaron's trying to say is stay calm and make sure you stop to encourage and pray with your children in the event of an emergency. And that means maybe you can't do it in the midst of grabbing backpacks and things, but once you get in the car and you're going,
take a breath,
take a deep breath and remind them that you're okay and that the situation is okay, even though it's way different than what they've known their whole lives.
And don't let the cat out. You keep the cat close.
Keep your animals close and ready to go.
So you can grab them when you leave. So ours is in the house now. Hopefully she's still here.
Don't wait till the last minute to start packing. If you are in an emergency situation and you're kind of playing it off like, oh, it's not that big of a deal or it's going to be okay, it might keep you from actually packing the clothes and getting in the car.
As the old adage goes, better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
And I just told that to Elliot the other day. He's like, what is that? I was like, it's just, would you rather be safe or would you rather be sorry that you're not safe? Mm-hmm. Like, it's better to be prepared than not. And so
there's probably more we could share with you guys, but this is all we could come up with today based off of our experience. Again, we've been really, really grateful for the community that has surrounded us. And there's a handful of families down here that are a part of our community. So I started a chat with just those families, the wives, to say, hey, are you okay?
Half our church almost lives right around the corner from us.
Just checking in on your neighbors, checking in on who's closest to you, see if they need help too, if you have the time to help them.
Yeah.
But we know there's a lot of fires going on right now. Even in California, we had texted our parents that, hey, this is what's going on. And they said, oh, us too. And sure enough, it's ablaze. So,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for us real quick. Okay. Lord, I love you and I trust you. And whether we lose the house or not, I love you. And I just pray that, Lord, you would be with my family. Give us peace. Father, that we would hold the things of this world lightly. And Lord, I also pray that you would put this fire out. Mm-hmm. And not just ours, but all the fires that are threatening homes around the country and all the natural disasters. And God, there's so much sometimes that we recognize we have no control over. And it reminds us of how little we are. Mm-hmm. But God, you are big. And so I do ask for more rain and keep the wind down. And Lord, would you protect our neighbors and our friends and our homes? But whether you do or not, we love you anyway because you're a good God. And we don't love you based on the things that we have in this world. We love you based on your son, Jesus, that you gave to us freely. His sacrifice on the cross, giving us salvation, Lord. So we love you and we thank you. And we ask that you protect our family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We do ask you to keep praying for us and praying for all of our neighbors and our neighborhood. And also, as I said, most of the Pacific Northwest is on fire. So I'm sure we're not the only neighborhood that is feeling some of these things that we're feeling and experiencing what we're feeling. So
I would also like to add, because we really appreciate you guys following along our journey, but I would love prayer for this coming week. I am scheduled to have a C-section. It's possible that it gets pushed out to the following week, but so sometime in the next week or two, we'll be having a baby. And regardless of whether we're in our home or somewhere else, I just pray for good health and safety.
Amen. Yeah. We love you guys. Thank you. Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today.